1 John 4:17 was the scripture from this morning. I'll just read it for you, okay? Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. And in the New Living Translation, it says, and as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face Him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. The Good News Bible says, love is made perfect in us in order that we may have courage on the day of judgment. And we will have it because our life in this world is the same as Christ. And the question this morning was, does my life measure up to the standard that Jesus modeled? Does my Christianity look like Jesus? Does my message, does my gospel look like Him? There are a lot of messages. There are a lot of preachers. There are a lot of churches. A lot of stuff being said. But does it look like Jesus? My life, our life, is to look like Him. We are to be transformed into His glorious image. Amen? We are to look like Him. We are to walk like Him. We are to talk like Him. We are to model Him. Amen? In every place, I am to be just like Jesus was when He walked the earth. Now, if we're honest and we look at ourselves, we'll say, well, I'm not there. Has anybody here arrived at that yet? Just like Jesus. By His righteousness. By His grace. Amen? By His grace, we're enabled to live a life of total victory over sin. Now, God, through the cross, has already set us free from sin. It shall not have dominion over us. It shall not have power over us because Jesus has already dealt with it. So that we could be released from the power of sin. Amen? And free to walk in new life where we can shine, amen, like Jesus shined. Where we can reveal the Father's heart to a lost and dying world. Okay, so when I look at my life, I need to understand that my aspiration is to be just like Jesus. And if it doesn't look like Jesus, then it means that I need to continue to grow. Come on. There's too many that get into the place where I'm just comfortable where I'm at. We want to hear the comfort gospel, you know, in America. Health and wealth and ease and no cross and no suffering. But the reality is, we are to walk like Jesus, and if we walk like Jesus, it is going to mean that there's going to be persecution. There's going to be opposition, obviously, from our adversary. We're in a war, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It is what we're called to, folks, not only to receive the benefits of the blessings and the grace of God, but also we are called to suffer. But this is not the message that most people want to hear because we want to save ourselves. We don't want to lose our lives. We want to preserve our lives. We want to save us. And trust in God means that I completely give myself to God. I completely trust Him with my days. How many know we can't add anything to our lives? We can't add another day to our lives. God determines the number of our days. So if that is true, then I need to live my days, my life, for Him. Amen. And that means that every day I have to die to me. I have to say no to the flesh and yes to the Spirit. I want to look like Jesus. So I worship him, I behold him, I look into his face, and we are being changed and transformed from glory to glory into that same image. Amen? He's transforming us, but he transforms our walk as we abide in him. We begin to do the things that Jesus did. We begin to talk the way Jesus talked. Amen? If we are filled with him, then that's what's going to come out of us. If we're filled with the sports game, that's what's going to come out of us. Come on. There are so many distractions, so many things that the enemy is trying to heap on the church to choke her and just choke the life out of her. And we've got to say no to that part of us that wants to save itself. We have to say no to that part of us that wants to hear things well said of us, that wants the opinions of men, that cares about the opinions of men. That part of us needs to die. We can't be concerned about what people think about us. What matters is that God, amen, approves of us. That we are his people. We are his children. He's the one that we receive our validation from. And when we receive our validation from God, then it doesn't matter what people may do to me or what they may say. Because my validation is not from you, it's from God. And sometimes God will speak through others, amen, and bring validation and bring encouragement to our lives. But ultimately it's from him and not from people. When we seek to be justified or to be validated by people, we end up compromising. And it's also a sign that we're not dying to that part of us that thinks it's important to be important. That has to be recognized, that has to be seen, that has to have people say, aren't you special? How many have discovered there's times in your life when nobody says you're special? God sees to it. God sees to it that there's times in your life when it seems like everybody's against you. Amen? That no one's for you. Even Paul, he found himself in a place where everybody had forsaken him. In his life. Why? Because he needed to learn. He said, whatever state I'm in, to be content. My contentment is not from man and from their validation, but from him. I have to learn how to abide in him, how to find rest in him, how to find, amen, my peace in him and not from any other source. If we're going to serve the Lord Christ, then we've got to know how to receive from him. We've got to know how to hear him. And we've got to learn how to say no to ourself. If any man will come after me, let him deny. Totally disown. Utterly disown. Whew. Hallelujah. We talked about Saul this morning. And how he had a partial commitment, partial obedience. And he had a partial victory mentality. You know, God does not want us to live in a partial victory because he's already overcome the world. He wants his people to live in total victory. Now, we may not be living in total victory, but that's God's plan for us, to live in total victory. It doesn't mean that bad things are not going to happen to us. It does mean that we're still going to be victorious no matter what, that we're going to overcome. We're going to overcome because we're looking to him, the one who's overcome for us. Hallelujah. God instructed Moses to speak to the children of Israel in Numbers 33, verse 51, and say to them, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Destroy all their engraved stones. Destroy all their molded images. And demolish all their high places. Sounds to me like God wants them to completely get rid of anything that has to do with the devil. Amen? Right. The same thing is true in our personal lives. God wants us to deal with everything that has to do with sin. Amen? Everything that has to do with the devil. Everything that has to do with our sin nature or the flesh. God wants us to completely put it to death. He said, go in and wipe out everything. Sheep, oxen, children, women, everything. Wipe them completely out. I want you to completely wipe out Amalek. Why? It's because Amalek represents the sin nature. It represents the flesh. And it has to be dealt with severely. We may look at that and say, how severe? And yet God knows that if these things are allowed to continue, it will cause greater evil, greater problems in the future. And so God is saying, if you want to walk in victory, in total victory, you've got to deal with the idols. You've got to deal with the sin. Amen? The besetting sins. You've got to deal with the things that it reveals to you to deal with. How often have we heard a message, and at the moment we hear it, we're convicted, and then we acknowledge that, yeah, that's a good word, but then we walk out of here and we go right back into it again. How often does that happen? Where people come and they kneel at an altar, and they confess to God, and then they get up and they go right back into the hog pen again. That's not repentance, folks. And as long as we are have favoritism towards anything that's evil, as long as we're sympathetic towards anything that is evil, we are giving legal license for the enemy to torment us and to mess us up. Amen? We've got to cut and dry, amen, completely. The devil has to be cut out. We're divorcing death. We're walking in life. Life is in Christ. Amen. Life and peace is walking in the Spirit. And we're enabled to do this by the power of God or the grace of God that He gives to us. It's not of us. I in myself can do nothing. That's why I have to come to a place in my life where I realize that my own efforts are never going to be enough. I can't work hard enough to do it. I need the grace of God. And God humbles us and causes us to see ourselves so we will come to a place where we appreciate His grace, we appreciate His mercy, and we come to Him for grace, and we come to Him for mercy, and we walk in repentance. And as we do so, God begins to pour in His life in and through us. And out of our lives comes the pure Spirit of God. Amen? Because He doesn't dwell in unclean temples. And we need to be in position for God to bless us so we can be a blessing. And the problem with America, again, is not the people who never knew God. It's the church that is compromised. That's why we need to turn back. And we need to encourage one another daily. Draw near to God. Draw near to God. Come to fellowship. Come to church. Come to prayer meeting. Be involved. Amen? Encourage one another. Be involved. Hey, say no to that part of you that doesn't want to be inconvenienced. Jesus, thank God, didn't live out of convenience. He lived out of commitment to the Father and to His will. Even when it cost Him His life, He was committed all the way. Why? Because He's in covenant. We are in covenant with Christ through His blood. We are in covenant with one another. We are here to help each other along the road. We need commitment. We need dedication. We need people to come together. We need to come together as a church in America and work together. Walk together. And when someone falls, reach down and pull them up. Amen. Don't criticize them and kick them when they're down. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And again, I said it this morning, but if we don't rule over our flesh, we won't rule with Christ. If we do not deny ourselves, we cannot be His disciples. If we don't die to our way, we're not going to walk in His way. If we don't die to our way, we're not going to walk in His way. We've got to come to a place where we say, I'm done with my way. And we've got to wake up in the morning and say, it can't be my way this day. My way has to go by the byway, amen? Because I'm going to walk in His way this day. That's what we need to do. Every day, it's a matter of choice whether we're going to walk with Him or not. But God is looking for those whose hearts are loyal to Him. Those are the ones He's going to raise up. Those are the ones He's going to use, amen, in a mighty way, are the faithful ones. God is looking for faithfulness. Amen? He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for faithfulness. Because in myself, there's no good thing, like Paul said. In my flesh, amen, if I try to work out or do good enough, it's never good enough. I need to approach God. I need to enter into fellowship and communion with Jesus on a daily basis. As I walk with Him in the Spirit, I have life and peace. I'm not in condemnation. I'm not in fear. I'm not in guilt. I'm not in shame. I'm in peace with God. I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, made possible by the blood of the cross. We have access to the throne of His grace 24/7, amen? We don't have to wait to come to church. There's so many that just come and wait till Sunday morning. They come crawling in and, oh, give me another dose, you know? And God is saying, come to me. Don't depend on a pastor. Don't depend on anybody else. Come to me. As a matter of fact, when we come to church, we should already be prepared. Amen? To be a blessing. Hallelujah. And we know that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We need a mindset, and this is where we left off this morning, of Joshua and Caleb. As you know, Joshua or Caleb, he had quieted the people before Moses, and he said in Numbers 13, verse 30, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Now, how could he say that? Because he believed what God said, because God had promised them the land, and that was enough. If God says you will have victory, amen, that should be enough for us. If God says, I have already overcome the world, and you will overcome as you abide in me, that should be enough for us, folks. Amen? I don't have to accept anything else. I accept what God says about it, and anything else is illegal. My opinion is illegal. My thoughts are illegal. God's thoughts are what matter. Why? Because He's the truth. He's what's really real. The reality is what Jesus says is always true. So I'm going to receive that word. I'm going to receive what God says about it. And God says, go in and take the land. I've given it to you. Drive out the inhabitants that are before you. Amen? Don't compromise with them. Completely drive them out. Amen? Get rid of all the idols. Get rid of all the inhabitants. And remove all the high places. And those high places, remember, are those pagan altars or shrines that were in the mountains, where they'd go up and they'd offer incense. And even at one time, they offered incense to Jehovah on these places because they didn't have a temple. And God says, you need to remove these high places. Why? And Jesus spelled it out to the woman of Samaria. He said, we worship God. The Father's looking for those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Not in some geographic location, amen? But the idols that we're talking about and dealing with now are called strongholds of the mind. Amen. In our thinking, sometimes we're allowing the wrong thoughts in, and we're meditating and thinking on the wrong things that don't agree with what God says. And those are the things that we can't be sympathetic with. Those are the things that we need to topple. He says, go and remove the high places, all of it. Get rid of it. Amen. And every high thought, everything that exalts itself against what God says, it's illegal for you and I. Amen. We need to take captive those thoughts. Bring them into captivity, amen, to the obedience of what God says, what Christ says. And so though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Mighty through God. Mighty through God. Mighty through God for pulling down strongholds. We have prayer, we have praise, we have our testimony, amen, and the Spirit and the Word, hallelujah. The blood of Jesus. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. If we don't rule over our flesh, again, folks, we're not going to rule with Christ. What is God's best for you? What is God's best for me? Well, in a word, His best is His will. Whatever God's will is for me, that's His best for me. We all have an opinion of what is God's best for us. I've had many idols in my own imagination of what God's best is for me. How about you? my ways, my thoughts, my dreams, and my aspirations. And some of them even are centered around the kingdom, and yet it's not even God's plan for me. Come on. Sometimes we watch somebody or see somebody else and we want to be like so-and-so, or we want to be like so-and-so, and wouldn't it be great to have a ministry that they have, and are we willing to pay the price they paid for being where they're at? But, you know, the thing is this, is that we all have an opinion of what we feel is God's best for us, even when it has to do with the things of God. Do you realize that even the things of God can become idols sometimes? Where we make idols out of ministries, out of positions and titles. The enemy is constantly trying to get us to believe that somehow we're God. We don't need to submit to God. We just go about doing whatever we feel is best. Even when it comes to exercising the gifts of the Spirit, we have to be very careful. Because Jesus didn't just go about doing anything. He went about doing what the Father showed him to do. He didn't do a lot of good things because he thought, that's a great idea. That's a good thing. You know, sometimes people prophesy over us something that they feel is a good thing that we want to hear, but it's not what God is saying. Sometimes God is saying, you're going to have to go through a season of testing, amen, of purification. I'm going to bring you through something. You're going to have to go through something that's going to be painful, that's not going to be good, at least from our own opinion. But ultimately, it will be good for us. And well-meaning, sometimes we come and we try to prophesy, sometimes smooth things over people, where sometimes God is saying, take your hand off. I'm dealing with them right now. Sometimes we're trying to bail people out of a situation that God is trying to chastise them in. Sometimes we're in a situation and we're trying to rebuke it or cast it out or whatever, and God says, it's just not going to happen until I say so. Why? Because He's God, and we're under His authority, and we take our marching orders from Him, just like Jesus did. If it doesn't look like Jesus, it's illegal. We are not our own God. We are not to run around like loose cannons and just do a bunch of good stuff because, oh, I just want to do this good stuff for God. I want to work for God. You want to work for God? Listen to God first. Amen? I'm learning how to do that. Are you? We're learning how to hear His voice. Jesus said, don't cast your pearl before swine. There's sometimes He's saying, don't say anything to that person. Don't share the goodness of the good news with that person, because they're just going to throw it right back at you or use it against you. We need to listen to His voice. Hallelujah. You see, we need to take in the full counsel of God. Amen. Not just take a few scriptures and try to make it say what we want, but we need to take a look at the entirety of Scripture and the examples that are in Scripture and how God has worked with people, how God has called people up, how God called Noah, you know, to build this ark to the saving of his family. And, you know, it wasn't God's will to stop the flood from coming. It was going to come no matter what they prayed or said. God said, I want you to prepare your house, amen, because the time is coming for judgment. You know, Daniel had never anticipated what was going to happen to him. He had these promises. He thought, wow, it's going to be smooth sailing from here on out. Well, there was a process that he was going to have to go through to get him to where God wanted him to be. Come on. And it was not going to be easy. There was going to be pain involved, but in the end, it would be worth it. And folks, we need to understand that if we are a child of God, we are in the palm of His hand. And if we're in the palm of His hand, that all things that happen to us, God will turn around for our good in the end. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. God's will is that His church would be holy. God's will is that His church would be fully equipped unto every good work. His will is that His church would reign in life with Him. It's not okay for the people of God to be bound by sin. Amen? It's not okay to dabble with the devil. It's not okay to partially obey his will like Saul. As a matter of fact, God rejected him because he did not fully listen to what God had instructed him to do. He knew very clearly what God had expected of him. And he had a partial victory mentality. Well, it's not a total victory, but it's a partial victory. And partial is better than nothing, right? Do you know, this is a problem sometimes with our mindset, even about the places where we live, the cities where we live, you know, is that we can look at it and say, well, we're making a little impact. It's not okay. It's not okay that Shelton is going to hell. Amen? That many people are going to hell. It's not okay. And we cannot accept this whatever will be mentality. We, as the church, need to pray. We need to call down heaven. We want to see God move in such power that His Spirit overshadows this place, just like He's done in times past in different areas, amen, and geographic locations in the earth, as in Wales and in the south. And God, we pray for the Northwest, that there will be a sovereign move of Your Spirit, and the fear of God will come upon every soul, and people will cry out in desperation and say, what must I do to be saved? We cannot accept a partial victory mentality and say, it's okay, we're just having our little prayer meeting, our kumbaya time. Come on, folks, we need to be influencers. We need to be salt and light. We need to every day, wherever we find ourselves, to be influencing. We can't change anybody, but we can influence them. We are salt and light. And if the church hadn't lost its savor, come on, what would be happening in America today? It wouldn't be where it's at. It's because we've lost our savor, because we've sold out, because we've compromised. Now, I know this is a hard message, but folks, the church needs to be evangelized. Amen. I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but you know what? I'm preaching to myself too. What's it going to take? It's going to take getting serious about this thing and quit playing church. Showing up and doing a little thing and then checking out for the rest of the week. I'll see you next week, maybe. If I don't have something else to do that's more important, like the fair. Nothing wrong with going to the fair, but where's our priority? This message will make people mad, but sometimes we need to get mad before we can get glad, right? Sometimes we need to go away mad so that we'll begin to think about some things that are being said. Even God sometimes makes us angry, right? When He speaks to us and He interrupts our own agenda, our own plans, our own way of doing things. And God just says, hey, what are you doing? He won't violate your will, but He'll put something in your path to divert you. He may have to raise up a big fish or something, you know, or a donkey. But God has a way of getting our attention. All of us are prone to wander. Every one of us are prone to wander. It's easy. Oh, we need to get a hold of what God is saying right now in this hour. We have been given the keys. Have we not? We have been given authority by God to represent Him, to be ambassadors, to bring heaven to earth, to destroy the works of the devil. And if we call, as a priesthood, we call heaven in. Amen? Hallelujah. How many know that the demons won't hang out where God is? Amen. And they won't be comfortable. They won't be able to stay very long. When Jesus showed up, even from a great distance, the man of Gadarenes, he began to cry out as the legion cried out within him and said, Jesus, thou son of David, have you come to torment us before our time? They were being tormented even in the very presence of Jesus, folks. We need to have that kind of influence, amen? There's no compromise here in the kingdom. We're in warfare, amen? You cannot play patty cake with the devil. We need to deal with the devil. We need to deal with him in us first, amen? Deal with our own lives. Come on, it's time for us just to say, it's time to get serious with God. It's time to quit playing games, because we don't have time for games anymore. America is on the brink, amen, of judgments have already begun, folks. God first gives warnings and then He begins to pour out His judgments. But then comes a time where God pours out His wrath, folks. And God has not appointed His church to suffer wrath, amen, but to obtain salvation. And I don't know about you, but we want to take as many people to heaven with us as we can. Jesus has overcome death, hell, and the grave for us. He's disarmed principalities and powers. And He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in the cross. The cross is a victory, amen? Jesus has overcome. He has all authority. He has the name that is above all names. And in His authority, in His name, we are to go, amen, into all the world and preach the gospel. And there is power in the gospel, amen, to save the lost. Hallelujah. It is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. And so we need a total victory mentality, folks. And that means a total obedience mentality. Aren't you glad that Jesus wasn't just partial about his obedience to the Father? If Jesus had been partial, then we would still be in our sins. Amen. If Jesus had compromised in any way, we would not be free today from our sins. He would not have been qualified to be the pure sinless sacrifice for us if Jesus had sinned. In this we will know that we have confidence, boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. I need to walk like Jesus. We need to walk like Jesus. Our talk, our walk needs to be just like Jesus. The world needs to see Jesus. And we're the only Jesus that they're going to see at this time. Amen? We represent Him. When the 12 spies were sent into the land, and they returned, you know, and they brought some of the spoils, they brought some evidence that the land is a good land. You know, they had tasted of the land, they had tasted of the goodness, but yet at the same time, they brought back what? An evil report. And they said there are giants in the land. And because of that, those people had only a partial victory mentality. Are you hearing me? Do you understand? They were actually disobedient to the promise of God by coming back and making mention of the giants, and that, oh, we look like grasshoppers in comparison to the giants. You know, sometimes, folks, we feel like grasshoppers, don't we? And we look around in the world that we live in, but we need to understand something, that it's not too big for God, amen? And the one who is in us is much greater than the one who's in the world. And we are world changers in Christ's name. And when we look at our nation, and when we look at our city, we need to look at it with total victory perspective. We need to say, you know what? God is able to turn this around. When we look at Shelton, we can say, well, maybe 1 out of every 100 people go to church, and maybe half of that 1% are even saved. I don't know what the statistics are. But folks, we need to divorce ourselves from that thinking that says, oh, it's just Shelton. Shelton is a bad place. Shelton is a dark place. We need to quit talking that way. We need to look at this and say, this is God's property. This is God's city. We are claiming this city for Jesus Christ. We believe in nothing less than a total victory. This is going to be our mindset. We're going to pray, hallelujah, until heaven breaks through, amen. And every man, woman, boy, and girl at least has heard the gospel. And that there's going to be an awakening, that the fear of God will overtake people. Folks, I believe that we're on the brink of a breakthrough. And just before breakthrough, the enemy works his hardest to discourage, and to tell you it's too big. They're giants you just can't overcome in this city. Oh, you've been praying, but nothing seems to be happening. I want you to hear something, that God has sent His word. Amen? And God's word is this, that if we will believe, we will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. We will see the glory of God in this city. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter if there's a delay, but when we have set our hearts to say, God, we want revival. We want revival in America. We want revival in the Northwest. We want revival in our city and in our families. God, we're desperate for the move of your Holy Spirit once again in America. And we cry out, God, move, move again in America, God. We're not going to let up. We're not going to quit. We're going to keep praying. We're going to keep believing until we see the answer is on its way. Daniel, the first day that you set your heart to understand and to know, the answer was already on its way. But the prince of Persia had delayed that answer for 21 days. Folks, do you understand that we're not to give up, we're not to quit. We're to believe that that answer is on its way.
Amen?
Amen? There's no time to throw up our hands and say, well, it's just going to have to go to hell, I guess. Nobody seems to care. Nobody's interested. I've caught myself saying the same thing. Well, people are hardened in Shelton, but the Holy Spirit says, we'll pray at the Lord of the harvest. Amen. We'll raise up laborers and that the word of the Lord will get out. Hallelujah. And by His Spirit, He will begin to break up the fallow ground of people's hearts. He will bring them into a desperate place. And in desperation, men and women will cry out and say, God, what must I do to be saved? And this is what we need. God, help us. Would you pray with me? Hallelujah. Father God, we want a heart like Joshua and like Caleb. A heart of belief, of faith, that we are well able to take the land for Jesus. And we are well able to take this body and bring it under submission. And to make this Adamic nature bow and submit to the authority of Jesus Christ, to die to that and walk in the new life. Lord, we're well able to overcome the giants because you are with us and you've gone before us and you prepared a way and you've sent your Spirit that we may continue to do the works that you began. Lord, let your kingdom come here in this church. Let your kingdom come here in the city of Shelton. Let your kingdom come to the Northwest. Let your kingdom come to the nations of the earth. Oh, hallelujah. I believe, and even in one day, a nation can be saved. God is well able. Our God is well able to do much more than we could ever ask or think. He is more than able. Hallelujah. Our God is mighty. Our God is victorious. And we are His people. We are His sent ones, His ambassadors, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to speak life to death. Can these dry bones live? Lord, you know. Prophesy to the wind. Come from the four winds. Holy Spirit of God. Come on. Come from the four winds, Holy Spirit of God. Breathe on your people. Breathe on the dry bones of your people throughout this nation. Come, Holy Spirit, once again to your temple. God, we pray. Shabaroka. For revival. For awakening, raise up an army, O God, to declare your kingdom. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.